Alrighty, we're in Exodus chapter 3 this morning to start, but you're going to need your Bibles some, so hang on to them. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to begin there. Exodus 3. Now the Lord has spoken to Moses out of the burning bush. He is in the midst of declaring to him how he's going to use him to deliver Israel from the land of Egypt and Pharaoh's clutches. Says down in chapter 3, verse 13, we'll start there. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. They shall say to me, What is his name, and what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. In other words, that's the name you're to tell them. I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Let's pray. Now, Father, we come to you here this day, and Lord, our country celebrates a Memorial Day today, and we pray that you might help us to be able to see that, but also to see beyond that, to know that we have an entire life to live in a memorial of something. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us this morning. May you make these things fresh to us, and may they apply well in our lives. Father, may we take great diligent care to make sure they do. If there's anybody here lost, I pray you deal with their hearts about their need for a Savior. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're here today for a Memorial Day occasion. Memorial Day began back at the end of the Civil War. It began as a memorial for Union soldiers fallen in battle. It soon, not sure of all the dates and all, but soon came to involve the Confederate soldiers as well. And then from that point on, all of the men and women that have lost their lives in service to our country and the U.S. Armed Forces. The purpose, though it's called Memorial Day, the purpose is to call to memorial, to memory, their sacrifice, their payment of the ultimate sacrifice for your freedom and my freedom and whatever other causes our soldiers fight for, but it's to hold in honor their lives and their sacrifice. The idea is so many, not only they, but so many of their families lost, you know, their husbands and daughters and wives in some cases, and their sacrifice should not be forgotten, so we hold them in memorial. That is repeated in various forums. You can go to the Vietnam War Memorial. You can go to various World War I, World War II, Korean War memorials around the country. You go there, and they're largely granite, you know, structures on which is written various memoriams and various names of soldiers, and many times just many, many names of soldiers. It's a place where many go and are very emotional and passionate and weep and remember their lost loved ones and all those sort of things. It can be a very moving type thing. It really goes beyond that because of recent, you know, fairly recently anyway. I know it's been going on for several years. I never noticed before a few years back the proclivity of our, you know, in our neck of the woods here to have where somebody's died on roadsides to actually build a little memorial for the person that died. I know that's for the families who lost loved ones in roadside accidents and stuff. Sometimes it's just a little cross. Sometimes it's a bouquet of flowers. There's actually one up by our house on 7 as you go up near the Rum River Park, and they actually have a big Star of David. A big thing. We're talking 3 or 4 feet big on a tripod, and obviously I'm assuming that a Jewish person died there. And Those are memorials. And again, those ideas revolve around the shattering, devastating loss of families for somebody they loved who died on the road and their attempt to keep their memory alive. The fact that they didn't just die in vain or some such thing like that. Then beyond that, you can go, of course, to all kinds of historic monuments along roadsides and little turnouts where you can pull in and look over some vista of the countryside where this happened, this battle or that or the other happened. You have museums. Really, gravestones are memorials to loved ones who lost somebody to death. Now, we have Memorial Day. And really, when these things that we've talked about here for a little while, those things basically are an acknowledgement of a really profound and a bitterly sad truth. And the sad truth is that mankind has a disgustingly short and corrupt memory. Even men recognize that we have to do something special to make sure people remember this, that, or the other. Amen? I know that for somebody that loses a loved one, I know that there's a grieving process, and it's a terribly painful thing, but even in time with them, and gracefully so, the memories and the pain slowly fade a little bit. They never quite forget, but at least the pain fades. But men in general are terribly quick to forget all kinds of profound things. We are several generations now past the upheaval of the Civil War and the turmoil that led to the Civil War, and how folks were so worked up in our country over the issues that led to the Civil War. We, even a generation or two later now, all the things that led up to World War II and all the upheaval, the turmoil, the trouble, we've forgotten all those things because it's hard to keep those things in memory, and many of us were not even alive during that time. And so for those reasons, people set up memorial days and memoriams and things like that so that things will not be forgotten. So great truths, the reason in this instance that these men and women died should not be forgotten. Sometimes they revolve around eternal truths. Sometimes it revolves around a certain evil, say Nazism, that sort of thing, so that never, ever again could something like that happen. That's the reason for memorials. But again, it's an acknowledgement that men are really short-sighted and have short memories, that we have to expend a lot of money to make a memorial or make a holiday so that men don't forget. It's kind of sad, isn't it? But men do erect them. Here you have a Vietnam memorial. Here you have an Auschwitz memorial. Here you have an Omaha Beach memorial, I'm sure. And the question is, if you go to Omaha Beach or Auschwitz or to Gettysburg or whatever and walk across those fields, can those memorials really capture the tragedy, the loss, the truths, the precepts represented there, the tremendous price, the sacrifice paid there? The answer is, there's no way in the world a piece of granite with words on it can do it, right? Here you have, we have Memorial Day tomorrow. Here's Memorial Day. We set aside a day, and we have a picnic, and we don't go to work. And it's in celebration, in remembrance of every American soldier that died since the Civil War. Well, I'm sorry. A day set aside where you don't go to work and a picnic doesn't do it justice. Right? No way. It ought to be more of a memorial for life, than a Memorial Day. Now, again, we've talked about war here. That's what the day represents. But obviously, we've not even touched spiritual things so far. I'm going to. We've only mentioned temporal loss so far, men's physical lives lost. Man's memory is altogether as bad over spiritual things as it is over temporal things. The number of men and women that died in service to our country. We are just as forgetful spiritually as people are temporally along that line. However, God never forgets. you know. So I want to preach to you for a little while this morning along that line, because while man often vainly tries to see to it that the lives of men continue to count in our memories long after the fact, they fail terribly. God's answer for it was to set up a memorial as well. Basically, God wrote a Bible that's a memorial. It's a memoriam in print. And in that Bible is contained all the things that you need that pertains to life and godliness. Now, I'll say this. This started out as a Memorial Day sermon, and I got studying through it and realized, you know, I got more to preach here than I can preach in 6 months. And so this by nature is going to have to be kind of, skimming across the top, hit a little here and miss a little there under main categories. I want to talk to you this morning about memorials for life. That's as opposed to Memorial Day. You can't just set aside one day. You can't just in one Bible reading. You can't just at Christmas and Easter and a handful of other holy days properly memorialize what it is to be a Christian. So I want to talk to you about memorials for life. I want to point out a few things, major things to you. If you'll go to Exodus chapter 3, there's something really grand there. You notice that God said in verse 14, Moses, you tell them that my name is I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you. Then he said at the end of verse 15, this is my memorial unto all generations. My name is my memorial unto all generations. So I just want to say this morning, if we talk about spiritual things, we might as well start with the Lord's name as being a memorial for the rest of your life. We should elevate this name to the top spot on all things that you are to remember. The Lord's name. I am that I am. He said, my third commandment to you will be, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Right? Proverbs chapter 18 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and it is safe. You need to memorialize. You need to keep in memory God's name. The Jews actually kept God's name in memory, because when Jesus Christ showed up in His ministry and said, before Abraham was, I am. When He said that, those Jews took up stones to kill Him because they knew that He had equated Himself with God the Father. They remembered at least that far, at least that much. Later on, when the night that they betrayed the Lord, they said, He said, who are you seeking? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. And He said, I am He. And when He said, I am He, they went over and fell backward onto the ground. That was the power of that name. And that's the point here this morning. I want to say, first of all, on Memorial Day, in which we honor the memories and the lives and sacrifices of soldiers that died for our country, don't you dare forget as a Christian, the first thing you ought to memorialize in your life, not just today, but from here on out, is the name of the Lord thy God. And I want to say, first of all, I am that I am. He said, that's who I am. He said, my name is Jehovah. And I just want to say, His name is Jehovah. His name is not Yahweh. Just for the record, there's been a big conspiracy about that among scholars. I just want you to know, Yahweh is not the God of the Bible. I had a guy down the street, jumped on me right away the other day. I tried to hand him a tract. He jumped on me right away. There's a problem with that cross, he says, on this tract. He said, that cross is supposed to have a circle on top. I said, what? He goes, yeah. He said, by the way, this is about Jesus, right? He said, they didn't even have the J sounds back then. I've studied it out and had Hebrew and blah, 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 blah. I got news for you. They did have J sounds. They did have vowel points, and I just want you to know, it's been Jehovah, it is Jehovah, it will always stay Jehovah. Jesus' name means Jehovah saves. Okay? So, you need to remember that Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am, I am He. Jesus Christ equated Himself with God. It is that name. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, people, you can call Muhammad's name all you want to call it. He ain't saving nobody. You can call Mary's name from now to the end of purgatory, and she can save nobody. The only name that saves is Jesus Christ. And so you need to make sure that you keep that name up near the top of your list as far as a memorial, as far as in memory, the name of Jesus Christ. His name was called Emmanuel, God with us. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. By the way, the Everlasting Father was a title given to Jesus Christ. The Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Word of God. The Way, the Truth, and the Life, Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, that is your God and Savior's name. It's the Lord's name. You need to keep that thing in memory at the top of your list. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted Him, given Him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess, including the devil. That was my addition. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Before the white throne judgment ends, Satan, that great red dragon, that piercing serpent, will have to get on his knee and bow his knee to Jesus Christ and say, He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You need to keep that name high on your list. We have access to God by that name. We ask of God prayers in that name. We get forgiveness of sins for His name's sake. We labor our lives away. We think and we pray and we read and we study and we witness and we do for His name's sake. We live our lives for His name's sake. You know, to illustrate how His name has fallen. We've now come to a day, and I will admit that I would never do this in 1,000 years. Again, that roadside memorial up by my house on 7. If I drove by there, and imagine somebody driving along and seeing a little caravan of 3 or 4 cars pulled off to the side where they have erected one of those roadside memorials for a son or a daughter or a mother or a father that died in that roadside accident. And they're standing around having maybe clipped the hedges and maybe mown around it a little bit to clean it up so that that memorial can be seen. Imagine stopping your car, getting out of your car and walking up and start bad-mouthing the person whose name is represented on that memorial. I would never do that. But they do that all the time to my God and Savior. They do it all the time. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is this is the name that's above every name. And one thing that the Bible says you... In fact, one of the first things the Bible says you should keep in memory is that name. Keep that name in memory. Keep it at the top of it. Besides that, there's more. Look in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Don't worry, the points are spread out a little more than this. Turn 3 or 4 pages at a time, we'd be here forever. But Exodus chapter 12, if you'll go down to verse 14, Exodus 12, 14. The Lord's name is the first memorial to keep in life for a Christian. In verse 14, talking about the Passover feast, this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it for a feast by an ordinance forever. Now we know that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Passover. The Jews were to keep that for an ordinance forever. For us, of course, the Passover is Jesus Christ. Look down in verse 23, though. For the Lord shall pass through to smite the Egyptians. When he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the 2 side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Now, folks, that's the Passover. The Passover had to have been a truly horrifying night. Think about being locked inside your houses across to Egypt and these villages and so on, knowing that outside stalked a destroyer, that if you had not applied the right kind of blood from the right lamb to the right spot at the right time, that the firstborn in your house was going to die. It had to be a horrifying night to live through. And I just want to say that one of the things that you should keep in memorial is the sinner's deliverance. You do remember the day the Lord passed over you, right? You do remember the day that you fully deserved to die yourself for your sins. Listen, the Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I'll ask you this. Do you think God was more mad at the Egyptians than he was mad at you when you were lost? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. There was no reason to be. Bible says in chapter 2 of verse 16 of Ephesians that when Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine, that he slew the enmity between me and God on that cross. I mean, I was the enemy of God. I was his adversary, his enemy in my mind. Do you remember the day that as an enemy, that the Lord passed over you when he didn't have to? And he did so because you had the right lamb, you had the right blood applied to the right spot at the right time. And because of that, God had mercy on you and passed over you, and eventually delivered you from Egypt. Do you remember that? Because you're supposed to keep that in memory. The Lord's name, the sinner's deliverance. It didn't really stop there, because those Jews were passed over that night, and it was a type of our salvation. That's true enough. But they still had to travel a ways. Came to the tongue of the Red Sea, and with Pharaoh following them up, had them trapped against the sea and in the land, and they faced certain and sure death that day. Nevertheless, the Lord worked a miracle by Moses' rod, raised the rod, the Red Sea opened up, they went across on dry land, then God destroyed Pharaoh and his army, drowned them in the Red Sea. Those people stood on the other side of the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15, and there they sang a song of deliverance. And you wouldn't know this without Bible study, but did you know sometimes that a song is a memorial? I think that's in Psalm 30, verse 4 or 6, 1. But, I mean, there came a day, not only were they saved, but the Lord delivered them from Egypt, and they stood on the other side and sang a song of memorial for God having delivered them. It was 40 years later. They'd been through one thing after another in Egypt. They had been are in the wilderness. They'd wandered for a really long time in the wilderness, and they came up to the Jordan River, walked down into the Jordan River. Once again, the river stopped, allowed them through on dry land. And each of the tribes picked up one stone out of the midst of the Jordan River and took it across, set it down on the bank, and they piled them together, and there was a pillar. There was a memorial that they built from the rocks of the river that denoted their promised deliverance, not only from Egypt, but from the world and from that wilderness wandering. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, you do have a memory of being delivered, right? Not only of being saved, but the day that the world started to fall away from you. The day that you crossed a river and said, "I'm making a decision that the world I'm leaving behind." And eventually you crossed the river and started seeing victories and started seeing promises come to pass spiritually. You do have that in memory, don't you? If you have it in memory, folks, you got to put it away in a special place. You got to make sure you hold that in memoriam, because you need to remember the the Lord's name. You need to remember the sinner's deliverance. I'll tell you something else you've just got to make sure and remember. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This will be short because you already know this, and I've already preached about it in part. This sermon, you could be argued, is too big to preach because there's just way too much to try to jam in. You can hardly touch everything. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and if you will, go down to verse 24. I know this is the communion passage, the Last Supper passage. But notice it said, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You have the Lord's name, you have the sinner's deliverance, you also have the Savior's work. That represents the Savior's work right there. It's holding in remembrance what Jesus Christ did for you, what happened on the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, for the umpteenth time, and I understand it's preached all the time, but God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ prophesied in Psalms on the cross, "I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised by the people." And so the Lord says, the Lord turned him, made him to be sin for us. He was made a curse for us. He wasn't just cursed. He didn't just bear sin. He was made to be sin. He became the personification of sin, and God turned His wrath on Him there and turned His back on Him there. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Christ did for you on the cross. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And it says there in verse 24, "This is my body, which is broken." Now, we studied last week. There was not a bone of Him broken, but His flesh was broken. In fact, so broken was His flesh that according to Hebrews chapter 10, that after Christ died, that the veil, as you know, was rent in twain. You don't learn until Hebrews chapter 10 that the veil that was rent represented Christ's flesh. When you went in salvation through the veil into the Holy of Holies, you walked through Christ's broken flesh. You know what broken flesh does, don't you? It bleeds. That's how you got the blood. His body was broken. And not only that, look down in verse 25. "This cup is the New Testament in my blood," not just any blood, but the blood of God's own Son. As the blood of God's own Son, the blood of God Himself. It wasn't just any blood. And it wasn't just a lamb's blood. It was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world's blood. It was the blood of God Himself that washed your sins away. Oh, brother, you got to keep that in remembrance. The work of Jesus Christ. And furthermore, verse 26, it's all wrapped up. You do show the Lord's death till He comes. He's not quite done yet. Right now, He's finishing your mansion. And then He's coming back to get you. And we do show the Lord's death till He comes. Don't forget the Lord's name. Don't forget the sinner's deliverance. Don't forget the day that you got saved. Now, if it was a separate day that you came out from the world, a separate day that you got some victory over the world, don't forget those days. Hold them in remembrance, not just today or on Easter or on Christmas, but for life. For life. A Memorial Day is not enough. It doesn't lend enough honor, enough credence to the sacrifice of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of soldiers that paid the ultimate price for your freedom and mine and for whatever wars our country has decided to enter. Those men and women by the hundreds of thousands have paid the ultimate price. And to set a day aside and have a picnic, it's a nice thought, but it doesn't do it justice. And neither can it do justice just a communion once in a while to remember Christ's work. Or, you know, a day set aside, an Easter day or a Christmas day or another holy day that people have done. It's not enough. It takes your life. It's a preoccupation in life to memorialize what Jesus Christ did and what God is. His name, the sinner's deliverance, the work of Christ. And there's this. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You're going to turn to a few places here and then I'll be short with a point. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Now understand there's a context here with a bunch of other stuff involved, but it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, He considers you not only dead with Him, but risen with Him. It is verse 12. For if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. There is your eternal security. Amen? But that's not really what I'm after. Verse 14, for of these things, put them in remembrance. Keep reminding them over and over again, Timothy, of these things. Not just this one thing, but these things. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not without words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And you know what he's dealing with? He's saying, Timothy, make sure you put them in remembrance. Make sure you do all that you can to keep those under your charge in memory of the things of God. Not just one thing or two things, but the things of God that I've told you to teach them. Look in chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who taught you what you know about God and about Jesus Christ and about the Bible? You say, well, I've been in this church for 15 years, so you've taught me. No, I haven't. I have not taught you. If you've learned anything, God taught you. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Nobody's asking you to, I just remember what Brother Stevens taught me. I'm not asking you to remember that. I'm asking you to remember what God taught you. Look, if you will, down in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Because this is the theme here. You're to hold in memory not only the Lord's name, not only the sinner's deliverance, not only the Savior's work. You're to hold in memory the Lord's things. And by that, things, I mean the things of God. I'm not talking about so much physical things besides the Bible. There are no physically holy things. There is no cross anywhere that's holy. There certainly is no water anywhere that's holy. There is nobody's prayer rug or hanky that's holy. Now, the Bible's holy. Otherwise, we deal in spiritual things that are holy. You need to be put in memory of those things. You need to keep them. You need to treasure them. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and this is talking about lots of things, once again, a context of many things, but verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the good words of faith and of good doctrine. Oh, there's the word. The things of God. You know what they are, don't you? It's doctrine. We talk about the things we're supposed to appreciate of God. You know what that is? It's doctrine. I know that's a D word. I know it's a terrible word in most people's vocabulary. They don't like doctrine. that's all churchy and stuff. That's all legalistic stuff. No, the things of God are doctrine. And you're called to hold them in memory. Look at one more, and then we'll move to something else. 2 Peter chapter 1. I just want you to see that if there was something you're supposed to memorialize, it is these things. I've limited them to six categories, and it pretty much covers everything with the understanding there's a ton of stuff I can't even launch off into and mention because there's so much stuff encompassed here. But for 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And notice that really the ministry of all the prophets and the ministry of all the apostles and the ministry of every preacher and every teacher is really to do nothing more than teach for the first time and then continue to remind people of things over and over and over again. To remind them of the things of God. I'm sorry, I don't always have something unique to say. In fact, I seriously doubt I've ever had anything unique to say. I just keep repeating stuff over and over and over again. That's as it should be. We're supposed to be put in remembrance. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. The Lord's things. Put the Lord's name up there. Make sure you remember the sinner's deliverance. Make sure you remember the Savior's work. Make sure you keep in memory for a lifetime what God has invested in you in teaching you about the things of God. One day is not sufficient. One holiday, one picnic, it's not sufficient. These are things to be lived. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Again, I'll make an attempt to be fairly brief here. Matthew 26. And verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, poured it on his head as he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me, for ye have the poor always with you. But me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Here you have a memorial. That memorial is a saint's devotion. Somebody that went and bought something that didn't have a practical use. But she simply bought it for a Savior. And she spent all that she had on it, then she went and broke it. On his feet and on his head, you learn in other passages. It's just devotion. Folks, I don't know where you're at, but don't forget that somewhere near the top of the things to remember is how devoted you should be to Jesus Christ. He was devoted to you. He was devoted enough to you to die for you, even if you were the only sinner on the face of this earth. He was devoted to you. Since that time, He's never lied to you. He's never done you wrong. He's kept you for better or for worse. And He's labored all this time to build you a mansion in heaven and to make a place for you there. He's devoted to you. And He loves you. And you should have the decency to hold in memorial equal devotion for Him. The saint's devotion. I have one last thing to say. It's going to take several turns of your Bible. Jude, the book of Jude. Jude 17. I'll let you turn these and then you don't have to turn anymore today. Jude, verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember them. That's what a memorial is. It's a remembrance. Remember the words spoken. Men, look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him. These things were written down in the Bible. They had forgotten them, but then they remembered them. Remembering the things of the Bible. Look in John chapter 2. And there are dozens we could go to. John 2, I'll suffice with a couple more. John 2, notice verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Again, they remembered what the Scripture said. One more, all the way back to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. Exodus 17, go down to verse 14. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. But write this stuff in a book. We've talked about keeping the right things in memory. The Lord's name, the sinner's deliverance, the Savior's work, the Lord's things, the saint's devotion, the Bible's words. The Bible's words. You know, it's Memorial Day. Again, it started at the end of the Civil War, where the Union first recognized its dead that lost their lives in the war. As time progressed, a few more years, they folded the Confederate soldiers that lost their lives into the honor of the day as well. Then, of course, subsequently after that, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, it represents, since that time, the soldiers that have lost, you know, their lives in behalf of service to our country. And you know, you don't have the money and you don't have the time to do it. You don't have maybe even the Constitution to be able to get through it if you really did it right. But if you had the money and the time and you really wanted to get a hold and to do real justice to the memories of them, you could take time off, spend the money, and go march the battlefields, beginning with the Civil War, of First and Second Bull Run, of Gettysburg, of Chancellorsville, of Vicksburg, of Sharpsburg, all those places. And then, when you got through touring all those battlefields, maybe spending a couple of nights on the battlefield in a tent, just to get a feel for the place and of thinking and meditating on the men that bled and died and suffered there, and the price their families paid for their service. Then you could take a ship or a plane across the Atlantic Ocean, and maybe you could do the same for the battlefields of World War I, the Battle of the Bulge, the trench warfare, and tour all those places that were so awful and so bloody. Then when you were done with the World War I battlefields, you could go to Omaha Beach. And you could walk up out of that surf onto that beach where, man, those guys were slaughtered right and left coming up that beach. And then you could walk, you know, through all the various European battlefields. You could go then to Auschwitz and Buchenwald and see the reasons that, at least in part, that our soldiers went over there and fought, and feel the death of those places and read the memorials. And after you've read the memorials, it won't do justice to the pain and the agony and the awfulness of the things that occurred in those places. And then if you wanted to expand it further, it has to do with your heritage. You could go tour the Catholic and Protestant battlefields of the Middle Ages, when some of those armies marched across those places in Europe against Muslims and then against each other, you know, right and left for the truth, each of what they thought was the truth anyway. But tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, literally millions of men died. You could go tour the places where the children's crusades happened, where all these Catholic children, by the tens of thousands, died, and the Pope and the parents let them do it because it was for a holy cause. And then if you weren't depressed and solemn enough yet, you could then go to the Far East, and you could go march the route through of the Bataan Death March. And then you could go tour Hiroshima and Nagasaki and feel the death of those places, of all the men, all the souls that died in all those places. And then maybe, if you weren't too depressed and ready to eat the gun barrel, maybe you would have an appreciation for the price paid, at least in part, for our freedom, but also of all the war and all the war-torn places, the horror and the pain and the agony and the sacrifice by some. You don't have the time and the money to do it. But I tell you what you have, spiritually. You have a Bible. You have a Bible. And in that Bible, the Bible says the Lord gave you all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Bible, you know what the Bible does? It never even touches the development of civil government in North America or the history of revolution in most parts of this world. It never even addresses stuff. It addresses stuff that happened out in the middle of nowhere to men that the world hardly even acknowledges. The Abrahams and the Ishmaels and the Isaacs and the Jacobs and the Davids and the Moses and those guys that in the Bible are big men, but in the world they're nothing. But in the Bible you have this garden to tour. If you went and toured every war battlefield that America has ever been involved in, you would never do it justice. And you could never really memorialize the deaths. But I tell you what you can do in the Bible. You can continue to go through this garden of things that God has given you to remember. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it won't be anything that the average person at the U of M even cares about, because it doesn't apply to anything to them, but it applies to God. It's about this little piece of land that God chose for His own. It's about this small people that God chose for His own. And when that small people killed God's Son, the Lord spread it out and allowed that to come to me and you, a bigger people, the Gentiles. That's what this whole Bible is about. It's this garden of memories. One thing after another. They number in the tens of thousands of things that you're supposed to remember. God gave, we talked about it in Sunday school, God gave you the mind of Christ in that Bible. And you're supposed to hold in memory that. You go to a roadside memorial where somebody's son or daughter died. Those people will return there once or twice a year to stand and clip the weeds down and weed whack some stuff and refresh the flowers. And they'll sit and cry and pray in memory of one person. And I've never lost anybody like that. Meanwhile, I'm told to read my Bible every day to hold in memory the things that God has given me in here. That's what Memorial Day means to me. It goes way beyond the soldiers that lost their lives. It goes into what I'm supposed to remember in a book that God gave me, a garden of things to walk through and perpetually go back through and honor and cherish and be a good steward of. In some ways, I feel like Adam, the Lord gave me this garden to dress. It's my job to dress it every day. Take care of it. Prune it, weed it. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't even matter what you think. He's given me this garden. And He's given you this garden to do something with. Hold it in memory. It's a memorial. God said, my name is a memorial for all generations. He said, there are some things in here that you should remember forever. And Peter said, I will continually labor to put you in remembrance of these things. Yeah, it's not just Memorial Day. It's memories for life. It's remembering for a lifetime. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your love and goodness to us, for the great sacrifices you've given us, for the completeness of the legacy that you left us. And Father, you left it to us in a book of memories, a book of things that you would have us remember. And I pray you'd help us do so. Father, if we in this church don't do it, I don't know who will. There are others about, Father, but there aren't that many that have an appreciation for the Bible the way you've told us to have it. We're trying to do you honor. We're doing all that we can to make sure that you're lifted up as high as we can lift you, and that your Son is honored. Father, I pray you'd assist us, give us strength in a dark hour, in a day where the perilous times continually increase. Please help us to be able to continue to labor to do these things. Help us to succeed in these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Let me have you turn to number 204 if you want to look this way. 204, let's stand. Give you an invitation this morning. If you're hesitant to come, I hope that you would. Bit off more than I could chew this morning. There's way more that could have been said. I hope that you realize that it's worthy of your life to spend the rest of the time that you have down here doing all that you can to memorialize the things that we've spoken of this morning, to hold it in memory. God never forgets. It's us that forget. One of the high callings of God in Jesus Christ is for you to keep these things elevated and honored in your heart. We're called to cast down the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And you're called to knock those down, pull those down, but you're called to exalt these things, to hold them in memory. This way, we're going to sing the last stanza. appreciate y'all being here this morning. We'll be back at 5:30 just like normal tonight. Again, don't forget that I've got a sheet here with the ladies' thing for Berean on it. I'll try to go right back there and put it up. But also that we're going to do the Chick Track offering tonight. So if you could bring your checkbooks and all your money. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Paul Oberlander, would you pray for us?
Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for this day, Lord.